The words of our hymn are based on the words of our text for today, taken from Psalm 103, the first five verses, where King David writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, there was a movie that came out called Rain Man, and I remember watching that movie. Dustin Hoffman portrays an autistic man, and at one point in the movie, he, speaking to his brother, played by Tom Cruise, makes a derogatory comment about the store Kmart, about what a cheap place it is. And I remember the entire audience in the theater just burst into laughter and started to actually applaud this line, making fun of Kmart, as if the audience was saying, "What a cheap place. We wouldn't be caught dead in going into such a place like that. It's far below me." It's interesting how spoiled we kind of are as a nation and with the goods that we have around us. And not only that, but how capable we are of buying so much. All the things we can spend our money on. How many people around the world would love to wander through the halls of our cheapest stores, of our Kmarts, and just be in awe of all the goods at our disposal? About three summers ago, I was over in Ukraine, and I happened to be there with some U.S. college students, and we had just eaten lunch. I remember one day at a kind of a fast food area in a mall, and there was a lot of griping about how the food wasn't quite up to par and so on. 2 days later, I happened to be standing in the parking lot of an apartment complex over there, kind of an impoverished area, and there was a woman probably in her mid to late 80s with a large stick in her hand trying to chase the pigeons away from the dumpsters so that she could have the first shot at the food that was being thrown out. In the Mankato Yellow Pages, in just this little community here, this small city, just in our Yellow Pages, we have 30 pages, not restaurants, but 30 pages of restaurants to go and eat from. And for the most part, probably 99% of them are pretty affordable to us. There are between 25 and 30 places that'll just make pizza for you. By the way, Polly Eyes is the best. I remember years ago talking to a friend of mine who'd been a missionary down in Peru, in South America, and he had served there for well over 20 years. And he was saying that the clothing that we discard up here in America, once we're done with it, slowly makes its way south. It makes its way south in our own country first and through secondhand stores. It finally then goes to Mexico and ends up in countries like Peru. And he said, "I can tell how wealthy America is and how wealthy America has gotten by this." He said, "Years ago, when there was a new sports figure and his jersey would suddenly become available on the market in the United States," he said, "it used to take about 5 years for that to trickle down to Peru, and I would start seeing them in Peru. Now," he says, "they reach Peru in about 2 years." The danger that we have in the United States is because we live in so much wealth and with so much prosperity around us, it has a way of kind of warping our thinking. We become blind to how fantastic our standard of living truly is. And along with that, we are tempted to become less and less grateful, thankful for the things that we have and the blessings that we enjoy. And we can become less mindful and thoughtful of where it really comes from. And we can start to expect these things, just expect them because we've had them our whole life. And we can start to assume that somehow we have them in life because of us and because of who we are and how great we are and all the wonderful things that we do and how important we are and so on. Americans have this twisted notion, and it's actually said to us frequently, this twisted notion that somehow each generation should expect that they will get to live at least at the same standard of level of living that their parents had, if not better. Well, whoever promised us that? Where do you find that in Scripture? But we assume that, don't we? We assume that we should be able to go out in life and live just as well as our parents did, and actually should maybe expect to have things even a little bit better. I have no trouble coming up with extra money in my life to stuff my face, but it's awfully hard to come up with a little extra money to put in the collection plate to show my gratitude to God for all the things He's given me. Every day, God causes His holy angels to hold back diseases from us, destruction from us, troubles from us. Just think of all of the devils that the good angels in our lives are holding back constantly, and how easy it is for me to just not even think about it and to assume that my life goes so well because I'm Don Molstead. And because there's something special about me and who I am. Ingratitude is one of the ugliest conditions of the human soul. There's even a tribe years ago among the Arabs known as the Nabatheans that it is told would punish the crime of ingratitude by death. And it's not just a problem for heathen. It's a problem for God's people as well. For those of us who've been blessed to know God through His Word and have His grace revealed to us through Christ, we still wrestle with this problem of ingratitude. Saint Bernard once wrote, "Ingratitude is an evil that is very dangerous, and it is capable of quenching the springs of God's grace." That's quite a statement. Ingratitude in our hearts can cause us to put our hands over the springs of God's grace to us. In the text before us, King David, by divine inspiration, writes what has often been called the catalog of blessings. It goes on for many verses. It's a wonderful psalm. I encourage you to read all of it. Today we just look at these first five verses. And what I would like you to see here is that David would have us look at our lives and the blessings we enjoy, the earthly blessings, by viewing them through the window of the greater blessings, our spiritual and eternal blessings that God has won for us through the work of Christ. If you want to take that bulletin out again just to look at the words, let's just walk through them together today. David begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." This praise back to God should come from the deepest parts of who we are, the very essence of our being. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." It's obvious that that's something we're capable of doing if we have to be reminded not to forget. "Forget not all His benefits." And then he says, "Who forgives all of your sins." And that's where it all starts, doesn't it? At the cross, with what our Savior has done for us. This is the chief and the greatest and the most essential of all the blessings that we get to enjoy from the hand of God. Without this, we have no peace with God, we have no future, and we have no hope. And notice there that he says, "Who forgives all your iniquities." Isn't that great that no matter who you are here today, no matter what is burdening your conscience, no matter what the sin and guilt is that you're feeling, that verse covers it. He forgives all your sins. Think of how Jesus came to that paralyzed man who was dropped down in front of him and had the tiles of the roof pulled apart. And everybody probably would have thought if there's anything he would do first for the man would be to heal him, which he ultimately did. But the first thing he dealt with was the most essential issue. And he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven you." He goes on, David goes on, "Who heals all your diseases." Just think of all the things from your childhood that you've been healed from. maybe through medicine. Think of all the little cuts and bruises and things on your body that just naturally, because of how God has designed our bodies so fantastically, they just heal themselves. He goes on, who redeems your life from destruction. David takes you right to your grave someday. And he reminds us there of how God is going to buy us back from the destruction of death. And we have that by faith through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just think what that means for your future. Just think what you have waiting for you. Just think of how awesome it's going to be to have your body feel the joy of heaven. And you've got that for sure because of Christ. He goes on, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Just think how gracious God is to us every day. Just think what his means of grace do for us and what they distribute to us every day, that loving, caring grace of God. How differently he could treat us if he wanted to, justly. And yet because of our Lord, he has decided to be so tender toward us. He goes on, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So David instructs us to think of our lives and view them through the window of the greatest blessings we have. And in doing that, that means that no matter what your station in life, no matter what level or status of income you may get to enjoy throughout your life, even if it's poverty, looking through the window of God's grace at your life, you can still be filled with gratitude, knowing that we are going to be the most wealthy people ever in the mansions of heaven. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen.